This is a story about control. My control. Control of what I say, control of what I do. And this time I'm gonna do it my way. I hope you enjoy this as much as I do. Are we ready? I am. 'Cause it's all about control. And I've got lots of it.
Welcome to another episode of the most awesome podcast on a Wednesday afternoon ever, Armed and Fabulous. My name is Mikester, and I will be one of your co-hosts today. And joining me, as always, is the fantastic, I don't want to be repetitive and be fabulous over it many times, but we are fabulous many times over, Freedom Guy.
Yes.
Yay, Freedom Guy! Woohoo!
Yeah, we're very excited. Well, you know, I always hold for the applause, even when I can't hear it. Because it's always there, right?
It really is. It totally is.
Yeah, it's sort of like both of us are guest stars in, you know, a 1970s sitcom where as soon as we walk out, or 70s or 80s sitcom, as soon as we walk out, there's applause. You know, like we're Elizabeth Taylor entering the room, and we can't even go on with the show because there's so much fanfare about how awesome we are.
Yes. Yes, darling. Yes. Ah, I bask in the applause of the audience. So, I suppose we should let everybody know who we are and where they can find us. So, Armed and Fabulous is one of the podcasts on the Outright Libertarians radio network. So, of course, Outright Libertarians is the LGBT, the GSM, excuse me, caucus in the Libertarian Party. And we can be found on the web at outrightusa.org. We can also be found on Facebook at facebook.com/outrightusa. You can find the actual podcast at facebook.com/armedfab. Which stands for Armed and Fabulous, in case you kind of didn't catch that. And if you have a state chapter, which some states do and some states don't, you can find it by typing in the word outright and the name of your state. So, for example, in Arizona, I would type outright Arizona, and I would be able to find that using the search bar on Facebook. And last but not least, you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/outrightusa.
Very good. Hey. You just said that so quick and so professional. I was taken aback for a little while.
Stop. This is what, episode 8 of this show, but our previous show had almost like 100 episodes before it was, it went into hiatus. So, I've repeated that information enough times at this point.
But, I mean, no pauses, no technical difficulties, no nothing. It was, like, amazing. I mean, usually when you can't be heard, it's not your fault. It's always on the other show, it's always the sound gimp just cutting you off because he's tired of being
right.
Controlled. And so... But we've had a pretty good week. We've had a really good week as far as liberty goes. I mean, wouldn't you say?
Right. We can get married now. So
we can choose to involve the state even more in our lives. Yes.
I guess I can add to my fantasy bucket list the bondage of marriage.
Yes. Woohoo.
Yay.
Because, you know, I'm so fabulous, I don't know how I think. I'm so fabulous, I don't know how I think it could even be normal in the first place.
Well, tell us more about this feeling. It sounds like you're having some mixed emotions. Would you like to elaborate?
Well, I mean, I get really, I don't know, I mean... I've gone to 3 prides in Texas now, and the pride in Longview was really awesome. It was all a lot of local people, and you know, a lot of people, businesses that are Texas businesses, and it was pretty awesome. There was no corporate takeover of that pride yet, and so it was small, but it was free to go to, right? And then we went to Amarillo and for Panhandle Pride, and it was a little bit bigger, and there was a couple of local financial institutions there, but it was still free to go to. And then we went to San Antonio Pride, and it was $10 a person to get into. And I don't understand why it costs you to get into the prides if they have all of this great financial funding and sponsorship from Wells Fargo and Capital One and Bank of America and Citibank and, you know, all across the board, you know, they serve alcohol, so they have a huge corporate sponsor in Budweiser or Coors or who the hell ever. So I don't understand why they still have to charge, you know, my GSM siblings to get in to celebrate. And that's the whole point, right? It's become a celebration of us being manipulated by the capitalist, corporate capitalist banking system that's bullshit, instead of actually being a day of solidarity and saying, we're here, we're queer, get used to it, and this is who we are, what we are, and we don't need your validation. We don't need normalcy from you. We don't need to appear that we are equal in any way, because you don't give us those liberties and freedoms anyway, so screw you. But that's not what happens.
Oh, no. It's totally all about give us your money and, you know, dance in this confined area to the approved music and, you know. Yeah, so actually it's kind of funny because my reaction to hearing that it was $10 is that I'm like, it's only $10 because in Phoenix they've got the price up to $20.
Well, I mean,
it's true.
I think in LA it's $30.
Oh, my goodness.
And
see,
San Francisco,
it's a complete ripoff. It's not a fucking Madonna concert. It's a Pride Festival.
Well, and I understand that some of them, I mean, San Antonio, it was really nice. They were nice people. We had a great response to the World's Gayest Political Quiz. But it's not like they had, like you said, it's not like Madonna was up there on stage or Cher or, I mean, the performance was we had a DJ and in between it we had drag queens, you know. And not like it was, you know, Lady Bunny or RuPaul. It was all local drag queens, and they were all fabulous, and they did a great job, don't get me wrong. And it was entertaining, right? But
like, I gotta, you could get that at a bar for free.
Well, some bars have covers, but still. I'm at a look who is performing. I might have looked who was performing and chose whether I wanted to go in or not, right?
Right, that's true.
I mean, me and Walter support the local bar here in Texas because we know the MC. I'm as old as I am, I'm friends with tons of the older crowd. So when they have a Legends night and all the old 40-plus drag queens come out, and some of them you're like, girl, the walker doesn't work with the full-length sequin gown. You can barely walk. Try wearing a little chiffon instead of an 80-pound dress. But I digress, right? Because they still want to look fabulous, right? I mean, you can't really do a Madonna song with a walker. Like a Virgin no longer has the same appeal it does if you have on a little tiny school girl uniform and you're in a walker or a wheelchair.
No, no, it doesn't.
It's no longer believable. You know, erotica, maybe, because you might push that, right?
Oh.
Or Like a Prayer, you could push Like a Prayer, right? Papa Don't Preach.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. Just say it.
No.
You're a 65-year-old drag queen, doesn't work. But it's just so, kids don't understand that it's a day of what it is. You know, all they hear is Stonewall and Stonewall riots, that's why we get to do this. Yay! And that's all the DJ says, and then we go on to something else. But I've had my soapbox moment, so.
So speaking of going on to something else, let's find out who's in the crosshairs. All right, so this is basically going to be quick because this person is totally, like, not even that much of a thing in the first place. But I wanted to call some attention to an individual that was called out by our watchdog committee earlier this week. Our watchdog team, excuse me. Because committees are so bureaucratic, so they're called teams, all right? Teams! They are teams, all right? Our watchdog team.
God forbid you get me called a communist again for saying the word committee, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. All right. So you all may have known that the social conservatives were really, really butthurt that gay marriage passed. And, I think every libertarian kind of shares the desire to obviously prefer to have the government totally not licensing marriages in the first place. And that's okay. It's okay to know that egalitarian application of the law is also a libertarian principle. So there's kind of that dichotomy where people who are comfortable accepting both things as a victory were very excited. And of course, those of us who had been shut out of the entire process suddenly obviously had our freedom increased. Because now we're free to sign contracts with the state. Yay, right? But, it was an advancement for us. But the social conservatives were really butthurt in the movement because they didn't want to acknowledge that equal protection of law is a libertarian principle. They didn't want to – that just was kind of not – hold on. Let me see if I can get this.
I'm on a podcast, damn it.
I know. Stop. It never freaking fails. And when I get on my podcast, it starts ringing. All right, so all right, so this guy who writes for Reason Magazine. So there's a little clue for you. Of course, you could find out the answer just by going to outrightusa.org and looking at the most recent blog. And you'll be able to find the link to the article that he wrote, which is kind of important because it's what I'm ranting about right now. Anyway, long story short, this guy decided that this was his excuse to kick the GSM community completely to the curb and try to drive a wedge between libertarianism and GSM. Liberation activists like myself and like the members of Outright USA. And so the title of his blog says, is this where libertarians and the gay community part ways? And he wants this to be true so bad that he spends about 25, 30, 40. Oh my God. I just scrolled probably about paragraphs. Let's see how many are on a screen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So there's 2 screens, 14, 3 screens, 21, 4 screens, 28, 5 screens, 35. I'm just ballparking here. 6 screens, 42. So he spends approximately 42 paragraphs writing a blog about how libertarianism has nothing left to offer GSM individuals. So we might as well get over it and realize they're the enemy now. Yeah, no. In fact, every victory we still need to accomplish is actually going to come, like our previous victories, from abolishing state power in some form or another that remains an influence over our lives. So whether it's getting rid of the gender binary by abolishing state ID cards, whether it means getting rid of the discrimination against gay male blood donors by abolishing the FDA, whether that means allowing people to flee persecution, decriminalizing sex workers, lifting the limits on immigration so that people can come here to safety instead of, you know, detention centers. All of those things are going to be from libertarian philosophy. Like, this is where the answers come from. So I guess I'm just going to go ahead and kind of, you know, because I don't have a whole lot more to say to him. And, of course, our watchdog team said quite a bit themselves, and you can view that thing on our thing, but on our blog, but I'll just go ahead and cue the music and then tell you his name. Oh, wait, I have to say it first. All right, his name is Scott Shackford. Okay, play the clip. Scott Shackford! He did deserve it. And I'm glad it's over. So what do you think, Carrie? How do you feel now that that weight is lifted?
I feel much better. I'm really ashamed of some of the libertarians that I know personally that have shared that, his actual link, stating that, trying to use it as a way to say that, you know, equality under the law or before the law is not a libertarian idea. And so I didn't give it the time of day when I read it, because I figured every libertarian I knew that it basically he was just showing himself to be the bigot that he is, because that's the only way I can explain it.
Oh, my goodness.
Because he doesn't even, I mean, even if you make a good argument, you know, stating that the government should be out of the marriage business, the problem that most libertarians like him make is they have no compassion in any shape, form, or fashion when it comes to the GSM community. And if you don't have that compassion when you make that other statement, then you're prepared to lose that part of the party, and he, just like some, are prepared to not only lose them, but like you said, kick them to the curb, and he would prefer that they even sit down and shut up. And
yep.
I got news for them.
We're not going to,
right.
And
he's
that's
dead
that.
To us.
Now, if you're going to act like a bitch, then you're going to die like a bitch.
All right, so I'm glad that's over. Now,
I love that every time I hear it.
I know, I just like, it makes my glitter hole quiver. It makes my glitter hole quiver. That's hot. That is so hot.
Oh my God, we got like 10 more, we got 10 new listeners just because of that comment.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we'll come back to that because that's funny. But meanwhile, let's move into our guest segment. And this is going to be actually, I believe, is this our first guest?
Yes.
Or did we have one already? Okay, so this is our first guest. So I'm really excited.
Oh, no, we've had a guest. Remember, the sound gimp came on.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's not really human, so.
But he doesn't really count, so this is our first guest.
Right. So we're going to be interviewing. And I'm actually going to. So, as many of you know, Outright Libertarians has been working with the Fully Informed Jury Association to put together a Queering the Jury discussion group that is going to look into how jury nullification has a benefit to the GSM movement. And sorry, I'm getting distracted because I know our guest is now on the line. So I'm going to welcome Kirsten Tinnen to the line. Hi. I don't know if I pronounced your last name right.
It's actually Kirsten Tinnen.
Tinnen.
Kirsten
Yay.
Tinnen.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, Kirsten,
right,
this is the Freedom Guy.
Just so everyone knows, I am kind of pretty, I'm pretty connected to this material because I'm going to be participating as a co-facilitator with Kirsten for the event we're doing on the 18th. So I'm going to participate like in the interview as like a side interviewee, actually. So I'm going to basically, I'm going to step away from the mic, if that's possible, being the attention whore that I am, and turn mostly the interview over to Freedom Guy. So Freedom Guy, you basically have the floor.
Well, the first thing let's do, Kirsten, this is the Freedom Guy, and let's explain to us exactly what queering the jury means.
That's actually probably a better question for Mike. I think we kind of, it was a takeoff on the title of the Adrian Levitt, I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name there, paper, Queering Jury Nullification. But I think Mike has a bit more insight as to why he selected that particular title.
Okay, so I was busy throwing my telephone out the window, so I didn't hear the question. But
so why
I would
did
be
you
happy
choose,
to answer.
Why did you choose the title "Queering the Jury"? And what does that mean to you and to the GS community?
All right. Well, so. In a nutshell, we took kind of a cue from the title of the talk of the paper, as Kirsten mentioned, that the paper is that the talk is organized around, or that the discussion is organized around, and that paper was actually titled "Queering Jury Nullification." So, I mean, I'll just try to keep it brief. It's a verb. Queering is a verb, and it means to take an awareness of queer issues. And the moral imperative to advance queer liberation and put action behind that. So it doesn't mean that we're like trying to make people gay who aren't. Like, that's not what it is at all. It means carrying your awareness of the significance of this issue and the power of nullification to carry it out into the courtroom with you, and practicing conscientious acquittal in a deliberate way in cases where it's appropriate.
Awesome. So let's tell our viewers exactly what the date of the training is going to be and how they can be a part of that.
Okay, well, it's July 18th, and we have a Facebook event set up for it. And so if someone replies that they're going, they also need to let either Mike or me know specifically that they're going instead of just hitting the RSVP button, because we have a limited number of spaces and we want to make sure that it's not just, you know, people who are saying that they're supporting the event kind of thing. So let either Mike or me know, and our contact information is on that Facebook event page. And if someone happens to not be on Facebook, they can contact me at AJI, which stands for American Jury Institute, at FIJA, for Fully Informed Jury Association, .org. And I don't recall Mike's email address off the top of my head, so I'll let him give that.
It's chair at outrightusa.org. So chair, C-H-A-I-R, at outrightusa.org.
So just let one of us know that you are actually planning to attend. We'll be doing it online using a website, rabb.it, rab.it. And you don't need to download any software. You don't need to register. You just need a computer with a microphone and camera. And I think even the camera might be optional for that. But we'll have a small group of people kind of teleconferencing on that free service.
So that's awesome. So what exactly does jury nullification mean? Because for some of our viewers, that might be a brand new term.
Mm-hmm. So jury nullification simply means that the jury believed that the person had committed an offense against the law, but acquitted them anyway. That's kind of the basic idea of it. And you might do that, for example, if you thought that the law was unjust, or if you thought that the law was unjustly applied in the case at hand. Another reason some people might consider it is if they believe that the law punishes the offense too harshly, or maybe you think there are other mitigating circumstances that, while the law in general is good in this particular situation, mitigating circumstances mean that enforcing it strictly would be unjust. And so to nullify in a case, all a juror does is say not guilty and stick to their vote. Maybe you'll have the other jurors agree with you, in which case you'll have a unanimous not guilty verdict and an outright acquittal. Or if not, if you're the only juror who thinks that the person should not be convicted and you stick to your not guilty vote, that's perfectly fine also. You can do what's called hanging the jury, which will result in a mistrial. And it's not as complete a nullification as in the case of an acquittal. With an acquittal, they can't be tried again. With a hung jury resulting in a mistrial, the prosecutor could bring charges and try the case again. But you at least saved the person on that particular day. They might not be prosecuted again if it's a split verdict where several people were saying not guilty. Oftentimes prosecutors don't find it valuable to try again. Or they might come back to the defendant and offer a more lenient plea bargain, something like that. So basically, you just vote not guilty.
Now, I understand that this tactic has been used quite effectively in regards to drug possession charges that people face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, historically and modern. That's true.
Now, I'm assuming that we will be training those individuals, because I know that sometimes on a jury that we need to make sure that people are aware that sometimes you just get to vote on the guilty, not guilty, and it's the judge who does the sentencing. So mm-hmm. while you may think the person is guilty, if you vote guilty and the jury itself is not the one that has the power to do the sentencing, depending on the actual court that you're in, you may be still setting that person up for jail time, even though you wanted to say that they were guilty of the crime, but they didn't deserve to serve any jail time. Is that correct?
That's correct. In most cases, jurors are not involved in sentencing. The major exception to that is in capital cases, where in most states, jurors have the final authority on sentencing, whether it's going to be the death penalty or life without parole. There are also unusual circumstances. Some courts actually do involve jurors in sentencing for other things. But most typically, once the jury says guilty, it's out of their hands. And we have actually seen jurors come back after a trial and say, you know what, I didn't realize that this was going to be punished this severely, either because of mandatory minimums or like three strikes laws or things like that. Or maybe they thought, you know what, this did not seem like that big of a deal. I thought they'd get community service, but they would actually get jail time. For instance, in the case of Cecily McMillan, an Occupy Wall Street, I think she was a person who was prosecuted for supposedly assaulting a cop. And her jurors thought she would get community service. But she actually did time in Rikers Island. And, you know, that's not the only case. There's several other cases where jurors have come back afterwards and said, we didn't understand this was going to happen, and we want to plead for leniency on behalf of the defendant. But really, their voice is out of the picture at that point. They can beg the judge for leniency, but typically that's not going to happen.
Now, I think of a couple of places for the GSM community that this could work is involving the fact of sex workers, where as libertarians and maybe those within the GSM community, we believe that sex work should be decriminalized, so we could vote not guilty based on our principles. Another place I would think would maybe be where a self-defense issue, where maybe the prosecution or the defense was not arguing self-defense, involving a hate crime, where as a GSM individual you defended yourself, so we could actually say not guilty there. Are there any other instances that I'm not thinking of that maybe you or Mike might know that would be a good place to be addressing during this training?
And Mike, why don't you give that one a shot first?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that, well, okay, so we will go into, part of the discussion is that we'll kind of spend a little bit more time dialoguing, because there are ones that don't occur to mind right away that kind of come out in a discussion setting. The one that came to mind right now as I heard Freedom Guy listing them out, and I guess I also I'm trying to avoid like just repeating the same old get your laws off our backs type list that we've had in the past, but that would give me a good starting point of a list of places, a list of initiated coercion against our community. But I'll give you one where there's kind of there might be kind of a judgment to be made by the jury where they would be using discretion, and that would be the case of somebody who's being convicted or being prosecuted for infecting another individual with HIV. There are some cases on the books in states around the country that actually criminalize even in cases where transmission may not even occur. There was a lot of hysteria around that issue in the 80s, you know, and at the time they were really reacting in a lot of ways that weren't very rational. And some of that was institutionalized into the law, right? And obviously, there aren't really any other deadly illnesses that you can, you know, transmit to another person and get charged with a crime for, like, doing that. You know, it's not – we don't – you know, people don't – it's just like being sick is normally not a crime, just merely being sick. And so – and but it would just depend because, you know, there may be negligence – at stake, but then much more typically and frequently, there's really maybe negligence on both sides, or maybe transmission has not even occurred, or like there was a case where a guy spit at a cop, and like who hasn't wanted to or even spat at a cop themselves, you know what I mean? And I'm not condoning spitting at cops, I'm simply saying that, like, you know, it happens. So, and it's definitely not assault with a deadly weapon, right? So that's the, and there was a man who was sentenced to like 20 something years for that. And of course the cop didn't even get HIV because you can't even get HIV from spit anyway in the first place. But, he was prosecuted under this code. And so that would be an example where you would be able to see where, okay, the person may be like, quote, and I use scare quotes around that, guilty, you know, in terms of like the letter of the law, but in the spirit of the law's purpose to protect like someone from harm, there was no harm. There was like that person literally did nothing wrong, except that they were basically arrested while positive. Right. So that would be a great example.
Well, I have another question that kind of is maybe difficult for some of our viewers or maybe some people that are attending the training. When someone is obviously guilty of the crime, and mm-hmm. I'm speaking specifically about our transgender siblings, in the fact that our prison system is not set up for our transgender siblings to, I mean, they basically go in either a men's or a women's prison based on the genitalia between their legs. So, and too often they are either murdered or raped or used as sex slaves in prison. And that's a, you know, a punishment that goes beyond the punishment of being locked up for the crime. And knowing wow. that is a huge possibility, how do we face that, knowing that the prison system is basically corrupt, but we know that this person is guilty. How do we address those things?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, with jury nullification.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely something that comes up in this discussion group to sensitize people to the fact that not everyone, you know, the punishments may officially be the same for everyone on paper, but not everyone's experience of prison is going to be the same. Some people are far more vulnerable than others in that environment. And so it is up to each individual juror to consider that and take into account what, you know, the circumstances for the individual of whom they are sitting in judgment are, and whether or not that is something that is warranted for what they are accused of, if in fact they believe they committed that crime. And like I said, one of the things that perfectly legitimate reason to, you could vote not guilty. There's something I also didn't mention, which is oftentimes if there is a very serious crime on the table, there are also the option to convict of lesser included charges. And all that means is, so for instance, a lesser included charge is a charge which involves only a subset of the elements of a higher level charge. And when those are an option, if you feel like some punishment is warranted, but you don't feel like the maximum level is warranted, you could vote for a lesser included charge as a form of nullification. Or, of course, you could do outright acquittal. So depending on the seriousness of what offense you believe was committed, you have a lot of options. And you certainly have the right to take into account, and I would suggest the responsibility to take into account, all of the circumstances of the case and what that person is likely to experience as punishment.
And, you know, jury duty is an awesome responsibility, and too often people in general, not just in the GSM community, but people in general try to do their best to get out of jury duty. And those that end up serving jury duty, I think get very little or minimal direction from the court as to, you know, what their job is and how far and exactly what they can do. So us having this type of a training is extremely awesome because it teaches and educates, I should say educates, all of us exactly of, you know, what our job as a juror really is and how we can use that awesome responsibility to affect someone's life for the positive, especially when it comes to principles,
mm-hmm.
Or laws that we feel that are unjust because they're moral laws instead of, you know, an actual crime being committed. You know, victimless crimes are a big thing for me. I don't feel like they should be persecuted in any shape, mm-hmm. form, or fashion. So
right.
I really am grateful that you are doing this, and I look forward to the training. Is there anything that I've missed that you want to add, Mike? Or
No, I mean, I guess I'll thank you for, you know, I know you didn't really find out until we were getting ready to do the interview that I was going to ask you to do most of the interview. And actually, I didn't really tell Kirsten either. I pretty much decided at the last minute myself that I was so emotionally attached to the event that I felt like I would be almost interviewing myself, because me and Kirsten have been working actually for, I'd say, maybe 8 or even 12 weeks, meeting weekly to develop this content and put it through a test run. And so I just felt like having another person, and Carrie is my co-host on this show. So I guess just
well,
thank
and what
you,
really
and
would have
I don't
happened.
Know. I don't have a lot to add because I feel like I've been talking about it so much. I'm just looking forward to the discussion. I just hope people come join it, and I want to thank Kirsten for partnering with our organization on this, because I'm just really excited about it. That's all I have to add.
Well,
I am too, and I definitely hope that we get some people who want to do the discussion, because I think there is really a lot of substance in this particular area that has not been explored, and it's a fruitful area for educating beyond just the discussion group, but to other people as well.
It really
very
is.
Very much.
Well, okay, here's it. Okay, I'll just throw it. This is something, this is an interesting question because to me, and I'm willing to answer it too, but Kirsten has to go first. So, because I learned a lot about this area, like the intersection between jury nullification and GSM issues, I have to admit, I hadn't thought of that before. So I guess my question to Kirsten, and then you could ask it back to me or not, is like, what is the most, if you could even just pick out just one, like, what has been the most either interesting or surprising or enlightening thing that you learned from looking into this space between these two issues?
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I think what was most enlightening was understanding the vulnerability of marginalized people in society to the legal system and to the prison system. And it really sensitized me to the fact that we don't all walk into the court on an equal basis. You know, people in the jury box have biases, people in the prosecutor's office have biases, the cops have biases, the judges. So it's not a level playing field that any one of us sitting at the defendant's table is interchangeable, more or less. You know, what we do in our private lives is now on display for the jury and for the judge and for the prosecutor and for anyone sitting in the courtroom. And so if someone disapproves of one's, you know, personal choices that have harmed nobody, they're going to be much harsher on that person, regardless of whether or not they have harmed anyone and to what degree if they have. So it really sensitized me a lot more to the fact that we can be prosecuted for the same thing. Many, many different people can be prosecuted for the same thing, but the outcomes can be very, very different. The risks can be very, very different. And that is something that I think really needs to get out into common knowledge more.
Great answer. In fact,
what would your answer be?
That was basically, my answer is kind of a variation of that one. And it is that, when we started looking at the material and figuring out how to organize the talk, what we discovered, I guess I take for granted as a GSM liberation activist, that one of the things we're combating is social stigmas and that they are harmful. And yes, that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. But I often don't quite realize how there's like a progression of how harmful they are. And it begins, and we kind of go through the series of questions that we go through. But even I was not I hadn't really analyzed it yet until I realized how each layer of stigma that we go through is compounded by the perception of the people around us. And it really does multiply and add up to, I guess come to the talk and you'll see what I mean. It's just, I was actually, when we really realized and put all that together, it was like, wow, I was almost speechless with how inadequate I feel at speaking to it. But I'm glad that we're doing it. And I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad. I hope that we save
and
a life.
I will.
Even just one.
Yeah. And I will add to that. It's really sensitized me, beyond that to what comes across my Facebook feed or Twitter or, anywhere on my radar about any of these examples where I might not have really picked them out as, oh my gosh, this is, a real thing. Here's a real example of a person who could be benefited by this, where I might not have seen that before. And it's also sensitized me to kind of the skewed emphasis placed on different things. I would say, for example, if we went on Reason Magazine right now and looked up wedding cake bakers versus Monica Jones, I have a feeling we would find a disproportionately large number of articles and comments complaining about fines for wedding cake bakers
versus standing up in defense of a woman who is essentially prosecuted for walking on the street, something all of us do every day.
That's a great point.
Yeah. I want to thank both of y'all for being here today and participating, and I also look forward to the training. I will say that when I first heard about the training, it made me think about so much of the jury nullification that we hear in regards to the drug possessions that I mentioned earlier, and and I'm, you know, I really look at it in the terms of the sex workers and trans women walking and, you know, those type of laws that we have that are on the books that are very easy for me as a juror to say not guilty. I think a lot of the people that come to the training are gonna learn that there are so many issues, so many different instances that you can just say not guilty just because of the law. And then from that moment forward, everything will become a little bit more difficult in regards of your own personal principles and I guess feelings of how far you can go with the not guilty. And I mean, that goes from not only just the GSM community, but the Black community, women, Hispanics, I mean, just all of that set of minorities, which is a horrible word, but that's what we use. So I appreciate both of y'all being on here. If you want to give us the information again about where people can sign up to go to the training, and I will make sure that they know that they need to get in touch with either one of y'all to make sure that they're going to be there and say they're going to be there. So what is that information to get to go again?
So I believe we have the event set up as co-hosted by FIJA and Outright Libertarians. So if you go to either of our Facebook pages, it should be there in the events. I don't know if we can put a link in the comments to the Blog Talk Radio post, but if so, we can do that. And then just go to that Facebook event, and you'll see all the information on what you need to do to RSVP.
Awesome. And they'll be able to, for those that missed it, they'll be able to go and... Yeah, it is posted to our pages, Mike, yes. Will they be able to hear the... Are we recording the training so that they can listen to it again?
No, but we are more than happy to do it again. our plan is to offer this repeatedly.
Awesome. And I think that probably works better because... I know when I sometimes listen to a recording of something, I'm like, oh, crap, I would have said this, and I would have asked this. You know what I mean?
Right. And also, I think some people, you know, are going to be more candid if they are not being recorded for people they have not met to hear at some point down the road that they don't know about. So.
Great. Well, we thank you again for being on Armed and Fabulous, and we thank you for the training that will obviously – allow us to be armed and fabulous. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yay.
And if Mike Stewart hosted, you wouldn't have got a word in edgewise because he would just talk the whole entire interview.
You know, I gotta give Mike credit. We seem to figure out pretty well when each other is trying to talk and when each other is not. So,
well, I still haven't quite figured it out. I just give him the leeway, and he just, you know, we have an hour show, and he gets 45 minutes, and I get 15. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm blushing. I didn't know it was that bad. I thought it was more like 40-20.
40-20. All right, I'll give you that.
All right.
Thank you
very much, Kirsten.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yay.
Boy,
thanks for conducting that interview.
You're very welcome. What a great piece of outreach that we're going to get to have on the 18th, huh?
It is, you know, I'm excited about it all over again now that we had the interview, and I just, you know, I called, it's like fresh in my mind how important the information is. I mean, like, I don't think you will realize quite until you've gone through this discussion, just quite how powerful this tactic is and why it has such significance to our population. And it isn't really until you sit down and you go through the sequence of questions that we have planned that you really see how there's like a compound harm that is adding up to. And you know, the idea that one person can basically, you can be that guy standing in front of that row of tanks that's about to, you know, mow down that, you know, and the person's not always innocent. They may have done the thing, but the thing may be not even that big of a deal. It may be, you know, it could be like, let's say it was like a shoplifting or something, but it's their third one. And you happen to know that they're going to end up doing prison time where they might end up suffering a murder. You know, they might end up dead, right? So that's not an appropriate punishment for stealing, you know, food because you were hungry, right? Because you've been driven out of the marketplace. And you know what I mean? Like, so you have a judgment call to make. You can block that person from a grave injustice. And I use grave in the literal sense there, you know?
Right. I think it's going to be very important that the GSM community and libertarians and the our don't tread on me people have the opportunity to learn how important it is to vote not guilty, especially when it comes to victimless crimes, and then moving forward to the punishment of the fact that punishment is, even the minimum, is far too severe. So that's a reason within itself to say not guilty, right? And then moving to the fact of will this person, based on who they are, will they be put in grave danger just because of who they are and being in that prison? And then the fact that, you know, it allows us to be educated, to be armed and fabulous, right? It allows us to go into there, and we already know that jury process, and we don't have to be schooled or manipulated or moved through the system by the prosecution or the defense.
Exactly.
You know, I think it's smart that, you know, as GSMs and libertarians, that we are prepared to do our civil duty of, and that responsibility of being on the jury, because that is a place that we can stand up and say, no more, no more. And it's not going to happen in this one instance. And I might not change that law, but by God, in this instance, dealing with this individual, that law is not going to be shackled on that person's back for the rest of their life.
Absolutely. It's a good thing we're out of time, because I was about to launch into a monologue about another nuance of the paper. But I do want people to know that if you want to attend, it is helpful, of course, to let us know that you do want to attend, because we're keeping a short list of attendees. But also, it's, I don't want to say required, because libertarians will react to the word required, but it's a strongly, like capital S, strongly suggested that people read the actual paper that the dialogue is based on, so that they can have that background information. And I'll just tease this. In the last couple of questions, Freedom Guy is kind of drawing out like that there's a difference between someone who's guilty but shouldn't suffer the punishment, or someone who's been charged with the victim. Like, there are categories, and one is where the law is unjust. And the paper goes into that, and it recommends, there's actually a breakdown of the different circumstances. And then there's kind of some advice as to whether what we should do in each instance, because we're not being told to just blindly find not guilty, right? Because we are there as it for the purposes of justice, and there may be a case where you, in fact, you know, justice is better served perhaps by going ahead and finding guilty. So it's not just saying that we're going to blindly sit there and be queer and commit like a reverse injustice. And that's all that's covered in the paper, and then we'll go into it in the talk. So
and what
yeah,
an
there are
awesome,
some shades of gray there, that's all.
Yeah, what an awesome fact that once again Outright is leading the way on a tool or something or an issue or a topic that is automatically libertarian and can bring other libertarians on board. That's part of what Outright is, does, and what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to show those places to where the system and the views and the issues all work together for individuals, not just the GSM community. And with that, I have been your Freedom Guy.
And I am, oh my gosh, I almost gave my whole spiel from the Rainbow
Mixture.
Asylum, where I'm the mistress of deep thoughts and cheap shots. I guess I'm not that here, but I'm a close approximation. I am the Mikester.
She can visit at some point, I guess.
And the queen of all media. There you go. I'm the queen of all media, Mikester. Nah, I don't know. It's not the same here, huh? Well, whatever. I'm the co-host, Mikester. And I guess we're done, right? Whatever, just end it, right? We still have 2 minutes left, and I feel compelled to talk for the 2 minutes, but...
Well, I mean, by all means, say something else.
No, it's
well,
cool.
I mean,
it's just, I know, because you can't even see
well,
the box,
before you
so
go,
yeah, no, it,
those of y'all that listen that want to be involved, make sure you go to our Outright Libertarians Facebook pages, outrightusa.org. This came about based because of part of our watchdog team and part of our outreach and our fundraising team. So those are three teams that you can be actively involved. And if there's something that you want Outright to address or to talk about, the best way is to be involved in one of those teams. So we would appreciate to have you on board. And it was a great interview. I think for last minute, I did pretty good.
Yeah, you did great. That was really, I think, I don't know if it was your first interview ever, but I know it was, I think it was the first time you took the lead of one on this show especially. And so you did great. I'm excited. I can't
well,
wait to get off this thing
interview
and
ever.
The whole time.
Usually I'm a little kidding, bit I more, done a little bit more research.
All right. Well, it's time to play the intro or the exit. So love you all, and we'll be back next week.